Siren Radio.
From the University of Lincoln to the world.
Our guest this afternoon is Graham Winstanley, who is the Secretary for the Lincoln Astronomical Society. Good afternoon, Graham.
Good afternoon.
The Astronomical Society, that's basically looking at stars and the moon and things like that through a telescope, isn't it, in simple terms?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So could you tell us perhaps a little bit about what the Society as an organisation does? I mean, what do you offer to the public?
Right. Well, the general aims are to provide information to members and the public about astronomy. We hold lectures on the first Tuesday of every month when we mm-hmm. invite a guest speaker to come in. Then we also meet every Tuesday for more informal sessions where if it's a clear sky, we'll be out in the observatory using the telescope.
Okay. You're mentioning there the observatory and the telescope. I understand you do have a telescope actually here in the city, actual observatory.
Yes, we do.
Whereabouts is that?
It's on just off Westcliff Street, which is near Burton Road.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, access to it is quite difficult because we're halfway down the slope of the Lincoln Edge.
Oh, okay.
And so there's about 70 steps down to get to our meeting room in the observatory.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get back up them afterwards.
Yes, I say getting down might not be too difficult, but getting back might be a bit difficult. What do you actually have on the site then? What is there? If someone was to go as a visitor, what would they see?
Yeah, well, the first members who went there, it was basically just somebody's garden.
Oh, okay.
So it was purchased in 1960 for the princely sum of £20.
I'd like to see them do that now. Yeah.
It's not an ideal building site, being on the edge of the cliff, which is composed mainly of clay.
Mm-hmm.
The meeting room was built by the members. That was the first project they undertook. Right. So by 1963, they had the meeting room ready to be opened by the Mayor of Lincoln.
Okay.
Then once that got established, they had a project for building the observatory.
Okay. So there's actually been on that site for quite a while then. This isn't a recent construct.
No, that's right. The Society formed in 1959.
Okay.
They used to meet in members' mm-hmm. houses. Then they moved on to the YMCA rooms.
Right.
And then an advert in the local paper brought the offer of this piece of land.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you say you've got the meeting room there and you also have an observatory there?
Yes, we do.
What size of telescope is that that you have in there?
It's a 12-inch Newtonian telescope.
Okay.
So it's quite large. It's about 2 metres long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a massive concrete pier.
Okay.
With an equatorial mount. So it looks very impressive.
Okay. And that's under the, I mean, we've seen photographs and pictures in the media, etc., the traditional sort of dome.
Yes, it's
like
a circular building with a dome on
okay.
the top, yes, that rotates.
Okay. That's interesting. And what would you expect to see as a visitor? If I were to go there and say, hey, I'd like to have a look through this telescope, what could I expect to see?
Well, the main things we try to show visitors is the moon and the planets.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the city, light pollution over the years has made it difficult to see faint objects.
Right.
So we can show also star clusters, one or two of the brighter galaxies
mm-hmm.
that you can see, though admittedly they are fuzzy blobs through our large telescope. The detail that you see from the Hubble photographs and that sort of thing are the results of long exposures with sensitive cameras.
Right.
which can be done with our telescope.
Really?
Yeah, so yeah, we can attach a camera to it and take photographs.
What sort of things have you been able to resolve then with doing that?
Well, the Andromeda Galaxy is our nearest neighbouring galaxy, and you know, it's 2.5 million light years away. We can image quite a bit of detail from that.
Yeah.
So you can see the spiral arms and that sort of thing.
Right, right. So light years, that's basically the distance that light travels in the period of 1 year.
That's correct, yeah. Yes, which is an immense distance.
Yeah, otherwise, if you put it, I guess if you put it in miles or kilometres, you have an awful lot of zeros on the end of it.
Yeah, I think it's something like 6 million miles.
Good Lord, okay. So basically, when you're looking at these stars and nebula, etc., you're looking back in time to some degree, aren't you?
It is. It's a time machine because light has taken millions of years, thousands of years to reach us.
Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Our own galaxy is about 100 million light years across.
Coming back down to Earth, as you might say, as far as the organisation is concerned, I mean, how often do you meet there at the observatory?
Yeah, we meet every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday, yes. Saturday afternoons we have a work party there, carrying out maintenance and gardening duties.
And the evening meetings, and is that that obviously is when you have your guest speakers, etc., come along, is it?
Yeah, the first Tuesday of the month we'll generally have a guest speaker.
Okay. So, and what sort of subjects do you find?
Well, the speakers are a mixture. Sometimes they are experienced amateurs who will speak on topics of their interest. Otherwise, they can be academic speakers.
Really?
And we've had some from the University of Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Dr. Phil Sutton has been along to speak to us a couple of times.
Do you, is there sort of any working that you do with the university? Is there sort of a good relationship, as you might say, with the university?
Well, we have made contact with the maths and physics department.
Okay.
So, we have contact through when public talks are put on at the university. Our members are made aware of it, and quite a few of us have attended those.
And if as I mentioned a little while ago, I mean, if I was a neophyte, a newcomer to the hobby, where would you suggest I start? I mean, what should I do? Should I rush out and buy the biggest telescope that I can afford, or where would you recommend starting?
Well, probably a good way of starting is get in touch with the Lincoln Astronomical Society.
Right, okay, good point.
Because we do run occasionally beginner sessions. To cater for people who are new to the hobby. So it's not just for young people who are beginning in astronomy. We often find that people, when they get to their 50s and 60s, have a bit more time on their hands.
Right.
And they're taking up hobbies at that stage. So.
But I would imagine, as I say, from a cost perspective, though, is it a very expensive hobby to start in? Or
it doesn't have to be an expensive hobby. A lot of people will have a pair of binoculars lying around at home, and it's amazing the things that you can see in the sky just with a pair of binoculars.
I guess the best thing would be to just get out into the countryside, though, rather than trying to do that in the middle of the city because of the light pollution issue.
Yes. If you're looking for faint objects, then you need to be away from streetlights.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, at least it's not too far from here to go out into the country anyway, so that's one good thing.
Well, either that or stay up until most of the streetlights have gone off at night.
Good point. Okay.
Siren Radio. Lincoln and proud.
Graham, while we were away from the microphone there, we were discussing a little bit about what I call, for want of a better term, dynamic astronomy. And that's where things are moving rather than looking at the moon or looking at the constellations. And that's my personal interest. And we got into a discussion about meteorites. And, of course, I'm familiar with the fact that there are various meteorite showers, as they call them, during the course of the year. And perhaps you could expand a little on that particular subject.
Yeah, and it is a subject I'm very interested in. Because as a teenager, I got into watching the meteor showers and recording my observations, right. Sending those off to the British Astronomical Association. But with the modern technology today, we can record videos of meteors as they're coming in. So there's about five or six of us in the society have a meteor camera at home. And that...
Interesting. It's
controlled by a small Raspberry Pi computer and turns on every night as it gets dark. And, of course, when the clouds are out of the way, it's able to record any meteors that come in. And the data then the following morning is uploaded over the internet to the global meteor network. So, and they are making detailed analysis of observations that we've collected through our cameras and through the UK and across the world. There are other cameras and the data is combined and very detailed analysis. If there's a meteorite dropping meteor that occurs, it's then possible to work out where it may have landed.
Now, you use the term meteorites. I've heard of meteorites, meteoroids, and just what is the difference? Or is there a difference? Are we just using two words for the same thing?
Well, they're all sort of part of the same thing. So a meteoroid is the piece of rock that's flying through space. The meteor is the visual appearance of one as it burns up coming through the Earth's atmosphere. And then a meteorite is what you how you describe it if it survives the journey to land on the Earth.
Oh, so if you go out and you actually were to find one on the ground, that's a meteorite.
Yes, that's that's correct.
I've learned something there.
Actually, our next talk is about meteorites. We've got somebody from the Natural History Museum. This person was involved with the recovery of the Winchcombe meteorite, which happened during lockdown.
I wasn't familiar with that.
2020.
I've read of reports of meteorites, you know, landing on people's cars and that in over in the States. I've seen a photograph with a car with a rather large dent in the back of it as a result of a...
Somebody in Winchcombe found a lump of it on their driveway.
Oh, good Lord.
Which was famously on the news.
You say you have someone coming to talk about meteorites at the...
Not coming in person. He's going to do it over Zoom.
And when is that?
To be the first Tuesday in May.
So that's about a week or so away then from now. Might have a new visitor. Oh, that's very interesting. And other evenings when you have visitors there, the general public there, can the general public just turn up any evening?
Yes, they can. We make a small charge for the lecture meeting. But, yeah, the other Tuesdays, people are welcome to come along.
Okay, that's good. That's excellent. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming along today, and we appreciate that input. Do you have any other questions for us?
One thing I would like to mention is that we do have a lot of group visits up at the observatory that are organised in advance. It tends to be mostly groups from the Girl Guiding and the Scouting organisations.
Right.
But we do have other groups as well. We've had history groups, church groups, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And occasionally we've had schools to visit, or we've been out to schools and taken telescopes out to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we do our bit in trying to promote astronomy and create the general interest.
So sort of bringing it out to the public rather than the public coming to you to some degree.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, we have we do arrange open evenings from time to time as well during the winter when it's dark early in the evenings.
Right. Excellent. Well, thank you very much indeed, as I say, for coming to the station today. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.